Sport of Kings podcast. This week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five at Kentucky Downs, plus the Queen's Plate from Woodbine on September 12th, 2020. This is show number 82, September 11th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how did the Kentucky Derby treat you last week?
Oh, that was good and bad. The Derby itself wasn't. It was a little frustrating because all the top horses I liked, but Honor AP just had a brutal trip. And if he just got enough for third, it would have been a good result for me. But that's the way it goes. I hit a couple other races earlier in the day, so that was okay. But I'm getting over my, you know, a good cure for the Derby hangover is a great card from Kentucky Downs. So that's what we had to talk about this week.
And we didn't have to wait 3 months for it this year.
Exactly. The timing was right.
All right. And we have a special guest. He's the national racing analyst for Equibase. He's also the racing analyst for Kentucky Downs during this meet. He's Ellis Starr. Ellis, welcome to the Sport of Kings pod.
Well, welcome. Well, thank you. I appreciate being on, Scott and Chris. It's fun to finally be on after listening to a few of these great pods recently. And man, you got me in the, like, putting my feet to the fire, though, with these full fields of crazy races at Kentucky Downs, but hopefully I'll be up to task along with you guys.
Well, you know, if you can pick one out of these big fields, I think you're doing pretty good. So since you've been focusing on Kentucky Downs, Ellis, what would you say is the most important thing to take into consideration with the races there?
That's a tough one, but not. I mean, I did some stuff before the meet looking for shippers, and of course, it kind of makes sense. Horses coming out of a better meet like Saratoga might do better than those shipping up from Gulfstream. So that's something I look at a little bit. Trainers, of course, because you know Ward, Maker, Asmussen are really adept at getting horses to be running well at this unique meet with the ups and downs and the big curves. And you know, we watch the races in the stretch, it goes on and on and on, and horses make that move at the quarter pole, which is really, you know, the quarter pole for them is halfway up the stretch practically because it's 5/16ths or 3/8ths to the finish from the time they turn for home. So those things particularly, and of course, the horses that have run well at the Kentucky Downs previous meet.
Well, I definitely have a couple of those today. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully they can duplicate their efforts. Chris, did you have any questions for Ellis?
Well, I know Ellis does a lot of the stats with Stats Racelands. Did you find any stat that jumped out at you related to Kentucky Downs or any of the connections at Kentucky Downs that you'd like to share?
Well, just basically, again, I kind of do it proactively. Like I'm looking at some races and stakes. So in the course of that, I looked at, you know, just what trainers the last 5 years have done better than others. And it kind of came to the top. Like, again, it was Ward, Asmussen, Maker. There's a bunch of other guys that do well as well. And the only other thing I kind of just looked at is, again, shipping. And it just seemed that Saratoga, particularly if I remember routes at Saratoga, horses that finished in the top four, the fourth or better, have actually a positive ROI. Now, you're going to get two or three of those in a race, but you find the one that may be a little underbet, it might be some value. And then also when I look at some of these races, not necessarily the ones we're talking about, but the mile and 5/16ths, the mile and quarters, I do look a little bit of pedigree and stats race on Chelsea with that in terms of, okay, what, especially the mile and a half, what, like the Kentucky Turf Cup, what sires produce stayers better than others? Just slight reference points to help me decide, especially if a horse hasn't run that far.
Interesting. So when we get to that race, maybe if one of those sires popped up, you can share that. That would be good.
Yeah,
it's interesting that you say. It's interesting that you say Steve Asmussen does well there, because based on my formulator stats, he's hitting at 12% the last 5 years with a 124 ROI. Do you have different stats than I do?
I was probably looking at a subset. I don't remember off the top of my head. I might be able to pull it up while we're doing this, but it was, I believe, just stakes, and there were a couple other things I was looking at. It might have been stake shipping from Saratoga. I'm not positive, but I saw his name almost as much as I saw Ward and Maker. And I may have a note about that as we go through it. Just that it wasn't an overall stat, Scott. That's one thing I remember for sure. It was pretty specific. It wasn't a huge sample, but it was, again, the better races and I believe shipping, but I wasn't positive.
Okay. Because Steve Asmussen is not really known for his turf prowess. Not to say that he's bad at it, you know, but I was kind of surprised to see he has a few entrants in these, although one is a definitely a contender in the first race. And speaking of the first race, it is the Kentucky Downs 7th, and it's the Ladies Turf Stakes, the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf Stakes, a grade 3 mile on the turf, purse of $500,000 for fillies and mares 3-year-olds and up. And Ellis, as our guest, we'd be delighted to have you go first.
Well, I've kind of narrowed it down to two, and reluctantly, one of them is the favorite, Regal Glory, the 6. I don't know if you want to give program numbers, because sometimes I get them wrong. But I really like the 4 English Affair. It was a freakout race in the preview for this race, the Kentucky Downs preview Ladies Turf, August 2nd at Ellis Park. It was on a soft course, but she was 14-1. And that was really because she had, you know, really run not that great in 5 races before that, but 6 back, which is back in November of 18, she won the grade 3 Cardinal. So she already was a grade 3 winner. She was only 3-1 when she won the Cardinal. She had also run 8th at Kentucky Downs that summer, the 1 Dreamer. Then she went off form. Then she must have had an injury, because she was off for 13 months. And then 7th, 4th, and 1st. And it may have been Bay Ronald running for the first time. But it was a big race. It was a prep for this. It was at a mile. And again, she already had the grade 3 form. So I like her at a nice, she opens at 6. And the favorite, Regal Glory, Chad Brown, of course, always getting over bet. 9-5 morning lines, probably correct, because he does get bet so heavily. And she won 5 of her first 7. Obviously, it's in the, you know, PPs. She was off from October to June of this year, 2nd in newspaper of record for stablemate, and then 4th in the Just a Game, kind of a bounce. I think she came back 3 weeks on 3 weeks rest, a little bit too soon, maybe. Now she's got, you know, 2 months, 2.5 months. And of course, that race has turned out well. I mean, Beau Recall, the runner-up, reversed on newspaper record to win the Churchill Downs Distaff. The 7th horse also came back to win. Uni ran bad off of that race. So I'm using those two, keying them. I'll use Mitchell Road underneath off a decent race at Ellis Park before a poor effort in the Kentucky net preview race. I'll use the 8, Secret Message, who posted the upset in the Mint Julep and then didn't run too bad. She was 5 wide coming in the stretch and the perfect thing at Saratoga, got beat 1.5. So I'm going to use those two on the bottom. But my win bet's English Affair. That's who I'm playing it. And then I'll use the 2, English Affair and Regal Glory, over the 4 I mentioned.
Okay. Chris, what did you think of this race?
Well, I agree that Regal Glory is the one to beat. This is a class drop for her. She's been facing really good horses. She should be sitting on a good race, and, you know, all systems go there. I don't think she's invincible, though. There's 2 horses I like. One I like quite a bit is the 1 horse, Mitchell Road. This horse, I think, you completely tossed the last race on soft going. Didn't like the going. Won the race before that. This horse is very tough when she's on or near the lead. There's no speed in here. Gets an incredibly positive rider switch for a speed horse on the turf from Joe Talamo to Luis Saez, who is absolutely on fire and has been schooling all the New York jocks on turf races by sending the horses to the lead and then never looking back. I think that will be the strategy here. Draws the rail, clears early, wins for fun. So I kind of like Mitchell Road quite a bit in here. There's another horse I like, but I'll toss it over to Scott, see what you think. But I think Mitchell Road is very, very dangerous, particularly given that rider switch and the fact that you're getting a poor effort with a really legitimate excuse that kind of dirties up the form, and you might actually get, you know, 6-1 or higher on a horse I think is the one to beat.
Well, I'll just echo your thoughts on Mitchell Road. That is my top pick. Does not like it soft. Has a couple of bad races on off turf. And I looked at the replay. She was like bewildered at the beginning of that race. She was bewildered, a little bit rank. She just was never in the race. And I think it's a complete toss. If you put your thumb over that number, she looks very competitive. She was favored and got second in this race last year. I think she can probably run better than she did last year. I'd be surprised if she's as high as 6-1. I mean, I think she's probably more like 5-1 just because Mott. But, you know, she's my top pick. And then Real Glory has to be included, like if you play pick ends. And Tappet Today has a nice little improving pattern. A little bit slow, but may get ignored as the slower Chad. And has a nice little pattern where she just ran her best race ever as a five-year-old. And I think it was an improvement off her three-year-old best, only a little bit of improvement off of that. So I think she could sneak in there and maybe she goes off higher than 5-1.
Ellis, you want to add anything before I jump back in?
No, not really. Mitchell Road, again, I mentioned, and I was thinking of moving her up basically into the top three using three horses to key. My only comment was the Mint Julep, I'm not sure what the excuse was there. I did like her that day because she got a good price, and she did redeem herself, and I could see where soft's not good. And she ran second last year, and she also is a Grade Two winner. She won the Gallaret in 2019. Two races before this race last year. My concern about last year's race was she ran second from start to finish, and then her win this year is wire to wire. She did show some closing speed when Ortiz rode her, and I get the point of Saez. So I agree they're going to use her for speed. The question then is, does she run into Tappet Today, who went 1-10-4 just off the pace in the Matchmaker Stakes, who was also a horse I was thinking of moving up to the top tier. So the question for me is if Mitchell Road and Tappet Today might get into a little battle and set it up even more for the Regal Glory and English Affair.
So there was one other horse that wasn't mentioned yet that I like as sort of my second choice in here, and that's the two-horse Princess Causeway. I've liked her before sprinting on dirt. I still think she's probably best sprinting on dirt. But she did actually win a turf route race at Kentucky Downs last year. So I can't totally dismiss her ability on turf routing. And her dirt sprint races are fast enough to definitely compete in here. So if she can take to the Kentucky Downs turf the way she did last year, she gets a good post and could pull off a surprise. She may get completely overlooked. And like I said, she's 1-1 at Kentucky Downs, which is a big plus given how quirky that turf course is. So I think Princess Causeway is a long shot you definitely could use in here.
Princess Causeway is actually 2-2 at Kentucky Downs. She broke her maiden there 2 years ago.
Oh, that's a good point. That was sprinting that time. So, yeah, I mean, not too many horses have two victories under their belt at Kentucky Downs. So that definitely is something to pay attention to with her.
Well, I kind of dismissed her just because she hasn't run fast on the turf. But each time she's run on the Kentucky Downs turf, she's run her best race of her life at that time. So maybe she's it's a tough sequence for the pick five, but if you can, she could be a use.
Yeah, and she's another one who was, I think you can toss that at her last race on the soft going at Ellis Park. So, you know, on firm turf, especially at Kentucky Downs, she's dangerous.
She owns Kentucky Downs as far as these other horses are
the
concerned.
The princess. Yes, the princess of Kentucky Downs. So,
all right, we'll move then to the eighth race. It's the Kentucky Downs Ladies Sprint Stakes, another grade three, 6.5 furlongs on turf, purse of $500,000. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up also. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, the first part is just, this is such a puzzling spot for Got Stormy to run. I mean, the race we just talked about, she could have ran in going a mile and she'd be like 3-5 on the morning line. Instead, they run her at 6.5 furlongs, and she's never sprinted on turf in her life. So I just don't get it. She can probably win this race, but it's certainly not in her wheelhouse, and she'll get over a bit. And just one note, I think Kamari, the 11 horses, I've read in Daily Racing Form, or at least somebody from DRF said, she is pointed towards the race on Sunday. It's against 3-year-olds only. So I think she's scratching out of here. So I think Got Stormy will be a big favorite given that scratch. So you got to beat her. But there's a couple horses in here I think that could. And the one I like the most is the 7 Kariba, who just is really consistent, razor sharp, good connections, IRAD rides. She's won a run well at distances from 5.5 furlongs to a mile, so 6.5 should be perfect. I think she's going to take some beating. I've got Stormy runs her A race going 6.5 furlongs. She probably won't beat her, but I don't know if that's going to happen. And I think Kariba could even improve off of her most recent races. So to me, she's sort of the obvious other horse. I'm not sure what sort of price she'll get, but as an alternative to Got Stormy, she's to me clearly the second best. There's another horse I think who's close too as well, but I'll leave it at that for now with the 7 Kariba.
Kariba is not only your pick, but is a bold racingflow.com upgrade. So twice in a row, she's overcome Speed Flows and won the race. Ellis, what did you think here?
I'm with Chris. I got Kariba on top. I think that Stormy's legit, but there's no point in taking what's obviously going to be less than 2-1. That race, the Caress, was a breakout race. It was a key race. The second horse didn't run back. The third, fourth, and fifth won. One of the three won the One Dreamer Stakes on the seventh here at Kentucky Downs. It's very productive pattern, third off the layoff. IRAD riding back. Like I say, I expect to get maybe 4-1, like she was last out, not 8-1, but she's a top pick. But Got Stormy's interesting, as you said, and I like her. I like the cutback, but she's never sprinted. You know, it's really weird. I looked at everything. I didn't see any one-turn races at all. And she is shipping from Saratoga, which is that angle I talked about. You got to use her. My second win contender, as I'm looking at, and I'm looking at three. One was Kamari, who I recognize probably is going to go. She actually had scratched, by the way, out of the prior rest to run on this race, or the one on Sunday. But the second pick is the 9 Into Mystic. And this is just a turnaround play because she was a decent horse before, and then she's won 4 of her last 5, 6. And then the most recent was on the trainer chain from Jeff Mullins, a good trainer, but they shipped her west, east to Brendan Walsh. And she ran fourth in Monrovia to a couple of good horses, Jolie Olympic and Alexander. Alexander came back to win the stakes, Saratoga. And then she won this little race, the previous stakes again. And then she was flattered. The runner-up won the Unbridled Sydney, which was moved off the turf at Churchill last week. And the third and fourth haven't run back, and the fifth horse won. So that's proving productive. In terms of, like, Equibase Speed Figures, which I use to compare just horses after I got contenders, she's got a 110 and a 108. Kariba's got a 106 on improving pattern. And Got Stormy's a 112 out of the 4-star Dave. So these three fillies all have about the same shot, but you're getting 6-1 into Mystic, 8-1 morning line in Kariba. So those are the two main ones. And then one long shot I've got to throw in here is the 5 Change of Control, because she was in the Embroiled Sydney, which she stayed in. I think she needed the race because she hadn't run since June. So Michelle Lovell kept her in there. She was 8-1. She ran third. She didn't show a kick, but that's okay because she's not a dirt horse. The two races on the turf, both classified to Churchill, were pretty good. And the figures were very competitive, 112 and 108. So I'm definitely using her. I'm probably going to look at Kariba for a win bet. I might bet into Mystic, Dutch the 2, if I get the price on her as well. And then I'm using Change of Control in an Exactabox with up to 5 horses here if I have to, with Kamari being out 4, and hope that Gutstorm is not in the mix. But those other three are very strong for me, with Kariba getting slight preference.
Well, looks like we have a triple-barreled pod pick, because I am also on Kariba. And let me see why I liked her. So she's been on a tear, Turf's Running, and she's new trainer, new style running turf sprinting. And the trainer, Clement, he's great at Kentucky Downs. I think he's around 29%. So I think that there will be a pretty hot pace and can sit behind that and swoop in and win. I agree with you on Into Mystic. She has speed, but doesn't necessarily need the lead. She'll be close. She ran a fast race as a 2-year-old. And that win on her last race was on a soft course. And when a horse does that, I give it a positive expectation and that it won despite the soft course, until it proves that it needs the soft course. And that wasn't her top number even. So I think she can improve. And then I have one long shot, but I'll wait for Chris, because I don't want to steal his thunder if he's using this horse.
Well, first I'm agree with Alice on Into Mystic is another horse I think very interesting. Clearly, kind of after Gutstormy and Kariba, that would be the most likely winner. The one long shot I like in here, Scott, you mentioned, should be a hot pace. There's a horse in here cutting back in distance that will be flying late that could pick up pieces, and that's the 3 Winning Envelope.
Bingo. So
if you look at the running lines, I kind of guessed I was going to steal that one from you, Scott. Thank you for tossing that over to me. If you look 2 races back, this horse was 16 lengths behind at the first call in a 5.5 furlong race and only got beat half a length by the horse that Ellis mentioned, Change of Control. That's an incredible close, and that's 5.5. So now at 6.5 at Kentucky Downs with that long stretch, cutting back after a mile race since then for Chris Block, who does really good in this cutback, that's a nice move for him. And you know, this horse should be flying late. She's been a router all her life except for that race I just mentioned and her debut, which was at 5.5 on the synth where she won or he won. But to me, this is the closer who could take advantage of a fast pace. Plus, remember, turf sprints are typically in the U.S. at 5 or 5.5 furlongs. So this 6.5 is going to be stretching it for most of the horses in here in terms of distance. So I can see Winning Envelope just flying late and blowing past a lot of these horses down the lane. And who knows, maybe even getting up at a big price. So that to me is the one you throw in as a price play underneath with an outside chance of actually winning the race.
Yeah, I think that's a horse that I'm including for sure, because I'm not sure about any horse in this race. I'm 100% against Gutstormy. I think they're running her here because they're like, what do we do to get this horse into the winner's circle? Let's try her at 6.5. She's clearly not the same horse she was last year. And if she wins, I lose, because I will not include her. I don't think there's any value in doing so. But as far as Winning Envelope, she is working like a monster. She ran a 46, four furlongs, and then she ran 59.2, going five furlongs. Her trainer wins 25% at Kentucky Downs. He has a 2.78 ROI. She romped in her debut at 5.5 furlongs. And, you know, that Churchill race, I haven't had a chance to look at that race, but she's always shown a lot of potential. And she won at Houston early in the year at a mile and a 16th. When it comes to 6.5 furlongs, that's going beyond the limits of some horses. And Winning Envelope clearly is not a horse that needs it to be 6 furlongs or less. So must include.
I'm with you there.
I was going to add, since you mentioned the pace real quick, I think we all agree, just so people would know, Quebec, who's adding blinkers, looks like a need-the-lead type. Godstormy cutting back, probably not as much. But then you've got Surrender Now, who's absolutely an E, in my opinion, and Jakarta. So you got those three. And then maybe, again, Intimistic could probably press. But those three alone are probably going to really set it up for all these stalkers and closers. And I want to mention one thing. Thanks for pointing out Winning Envelope. You know, Leperoux rode her to that big runner-up, and he also rode her to a win at Keeneland last fall at a mile. With Kamari maybe scratching, I don't know who could get in, but Leperoux will probably take Winning Envelope. But he's also named on the 15 Bohemian Bourbon. And that's the same thing. The last time Julian rode this horse, it was 6.5 on the grass at Kentucky Downs last September. And she set off the pace to win. But in a race off the turf at Churchill in June, when he rode her from fifth, and he rode her to win at 5 on the grass at Gulfstream from 7th, 8 back. So no matter who rides Bohemian Bourbon, if she gets in, I think she's another one we should look at.
All right. Well, we're probably going to have to go deep in that race. Let's look to the ninth race for maybe we don't have to go that deep, although it is 2-year-olds. And we proved last week that we were worried because most of the horses only run once. And the horse that won was 24-1. I had a nice write-up on the horse, but I forgot to talk about her. And it was sitting on go. She had run like a 5.5 furlong race and like closed like a mad dog, and then extended on the gallop out. And then I tweeted like, I had her, right? Nobody's giving me any credit, but I didn't realize, I forgot to mention her. I had just written down my list of horses. So I'm writing down my horses only after I talk about them today. So the ninth race, the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint, 6.5 furlongs on turf, $500,000 for 2-year-olds. Ellis, what did you think here?
Yeah, this one is a little easier. Thank goodness it cuts down the pick 3 tickets. You got to use the 2 outside horses, the favorites, Avador and Fauci. My top pick is going to be a horse I think has just as much shot at a better price as County Final, the 4. I can make it kind of simple. I'm just going to box County Final with Avador and box County Final with Fauci. There's no point in playing a 3-horse box here. County Final was just in hand last time out. Really broke his maiden wire to wire at 5.5, then ran second in the Bashford Manor after leading, and then showed a different dimension coming from off the pace in the Tyro, which was scheduled for turf run on dirt. He was flattered when the 3rd horse came back to win, improved nicely, and that in-hand wins is something good. I like the fact Jose Ortiz getting on. I don't have to say much about Adador and Fauci. Fauci's run 3 good races. Adador went big in his debut. Back to what we talked about at the beginning, while you guys were talking earlier, I was looking up why Asmussen, I thought, even though overall his percentages aren't that good. So here's, to answer your question, Scott, when I used Stats Racelands and I did a research of horses shipping from Saratoga to Kentucky Downs, which end up being a positive angle, actually. I'll just tell you real quick. And this, again, is going to be a big insight, so you have to ferret it out. And this was not horses third to bear. This is overall 190 horses in 92 races. So there's more than one horse in a race here. But a 22% win and a 10% ROI, which is a good starting point, plus 10% for horses shipping from Saratoga to Kentucky Downs. And when I sorted by date on the horses, the winners, it just happened that I noticed Asmussen was 2 of the last 10 based on date order. So, yes, he's low percentage, but of the last 10 horses that won on the ship, he had 2 of them. They weren't big prices, 5 to 2 and 3 to 5, but that's basically why I had mentioned his name along with Maker and Ward, who are decidedly higher percentage. But that's how I see the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Room County Final, out of doors, out chief.
Chris, what did you think here?
Well, on the win end, I agree. I mean, County Final, I actually tatted that horse in his second start when he ran a pretty big race. He ran second at a big price on the dirt, but he has won on the turf. And, you know, he's clearly the switch to Asmussen. This will be the second start for Asmussen. He gets Jose Ortiz to ride. So the one that could threaten the two Ward horses, definitely County Final. I don't think you have to go any deeper than that in the pick ends. But in the verticals, I think where you could actually get some value, because you won't get value from any of those three, I don't think, is the 7-horse Scorsese. I think it's kind of an interesting bomb. He's 50-1. Or is it? Are these he or she's? These are he's. Okay.
He's.
Yeah. So he.
For now.
Yeah, right. Some of these probably won't be for long. The horse is just a really bad actor.
He's already gelded.
Oh, he is already gelded. That's right.
He
should be, because he's been a real head case in the gate. And the first two starts had no chance at all, but based on the way it got away from the gate. But in its last start, it actually had a halfway decent start. Not a good one, but halfway decent. And he gets a really good rider switch. Again, Joe Talamo, not much of a gate rider, and John McCade, kind of the same way. But Tyler Bays, who's riding him in this race, really good out of the gate. The horse seems to be a little better behaving in his last start, maybe in this fourth time's a charm, and he actually breaks cleanly, especially with a good gate rider. And if you look at this race, they all want to be on the lead. And this is the only, there's one other horse that comes from out of it, but it seems to be hopelessly slow. But this horse actually, with a clean break, could be the one that could close. And if they're getting tired late, again, this is 6.5 furlongs on the turf. These are young horses. Most of them haven't been this distance. Scorsese might be the one horse who could be closing late and pick up some pieces. I don't know if he can beat all the top three, but maybe he can split them and get into the tri or the exacta. And that might be the way you can make some money on this race, is playing, you know, kind of underneath key with the 7-horse Scorsese. Now, he could screw around in the gate and get completely left like he has in a few starts, and then he has no chance. But I'm kind of counting on just a little bit of maturity and the rider switch to maybe make the difference. And so he'll be at least within striking range when he starts to close late, and that extra distance, the rest of the field may be backing up.
Can you just refresh your top picks, just because I didn't write them down, and I think it was County Final, but I'm not sure.
For the win, yeah, County Final would be my pod pick. I don't think he's a good value at the morning line. But I think the way to play the race is to key the 7-horse Scorsese underneath, not necessarily to win.
Right. And you would use Outador and Fauci?
Yeah, both the Ward horses, 9 and 10.
Okay. I like Bodenheimer. He's got great turf and distance breeding, and I know he likes to, you know, likes to have it on the lead. He's 2-for-2. The Canterbury race, I haven't watched the races, but the Canterbury race looks like, you know, an 11 length win. And I love the breeding, because Attaboy Roy could run, was a sprint and fool. That's the sire. But the Dam was a stakes winner, I believe, on turf. Won at least won a few races on turf, and got good numbers doing that. And then he has a sibling named King of Speed, who also was a 2-time stakes winner. I haven't confirmed that those were turf stakes, but the breeding, you know, the Dam is out of AP Indy. So when you ask yourself which of these horses is going to get 6.5 furlongs, I think he's a little bit more likely. And I like the post, and he hasn't proven that he has to have the lead. It's only two races, so I wouldn't necessarily hold that against him. If it is a quick pace, maybe he'll lay off of it. I don't know, but to me, he's my top pick and a must include. I also like County Final, I think, is a use. And I think Cowan is a must use, as he won his debut and then he lost when bumping at the start. But he has very turfy breeding. And you have to include Fauci, who chased a runaway winner in his last race against the Speed Flow. The horse I might not include is Out of Door, who, when it comes to these turf sprints, I like to see when they get into like longer distances, we're talking 6.5 to 7 furlongs, that's when the breeding, if they don't have it, that's when it begins to show itself. And I just don't see like great turf breeding on Out of Door. And, you know, he was a workmanlike trip in his last race. He was second. It was a fast pace, but the horse that was on the lead was about 4 lengths ahead of him. He was under a drive, you know, it just didn't say to me as the morning line favorite, it didn't say to me like, this is the horse that's going to win this race. If anything, I think that going that extra furlong, there's a chance that he'll not like it. And I'm already 4 deep in this race anyway. So if I do play the pick, if I play any pick ends, I'm probably going to exclude that horse because there's no value and there's reason to think that maybe he won't like the distance.
Anything to add, Ellis?
No, and it could very well be that a horse like Bodenheimer, I would say, you know, gets ahead. Petit Verdot is inside and has a lot of desire to lead. I mean, all the races have been ones early. So he'd have to beat Petit Verdot and then deal with Cowan. There's just a lot of speed. And of course, any of them could rate or get a length or two lead. But then, as Scott said, that extra furlong from the 5.5 might kick in. He's an interesting play, though, Bodenheimer. I could see it.
Yeah, if he can't get the lead, you know, if whoever gets the lead will have an advantage because they all want the lead. Like, I'm just not quite sure why Out of Door, it's a negative that he tracked a hot pace and then drew off. He's the only one that's done that in the field, and that's exactly the race shape he's going to face here. He's going to have to track a fast field, a fast pace, and then draw off. Or the others, you know, they've been on the lead and maybe held on. So I'm not nearly as negative as Scott is on Out of Door. But certainly Bodenheimer, if he can get the lead, will be dangerous because they all want the lead. Whoever gets it, you know, the others all have to chase. And like I said, there's not really any quality closers in here unless I wouldn't call Scorsese a quality closer. He's kind of an angle play. So, yeah, certainly if that horse can get the lead and he's quick, he could be dangerous.
His dam, Beautiful Danielle, was 4 for 14 on turf, including a minor stakes race at the Meadowlands at a mile, and wired them. So that's something to keep in mind. And the sibling that I was talking about was King of Speed. He was 2 for 13 on turf, and he won at a mile. So I just think that Bodenheimer, I remember hearing about him on Twitter. I saw people tweeting like, hey, what figure did he get? And like he ran, you know, a big race in his turf debut. And I thought, wow, this horse has some steam and maybe he's going to be lower than 6 to 1. But considering that you guys are kind of writing him off, maybe 6 to 1 is realistic.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think he'll get more than that. He is unbeaten, but he was all out to win with an easy lead at Prairie Meadows last out. So on a speed favoring track. So, you know, that probably will weigh against him so you'll get your price, but I think that's also a negative. Although it was on dirt, you know, maybe he's better on turf, so you can forgive that. But definitely he'll be battling for the lead, and if he can get it, or these are he's, right? I keep having to check. He certainly could win. I don't think he's going to be value at 6-1, but I think he's definitely a contender.
We'll move then to the 10th race at Kentucky Downs. It's the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup Stakes, Grade 3, 1.5 miles on turf with a purse of $1 million, 3-year-olds and up. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, you know, clearly Zulu Alpha is the horse to beat, and he's won at Kentucky Downs. And this is a $1 million race, so you have to figure Maker has him ready to run a good race. But, you know, I've never thought he lays over the competition in any of these races, so I'm not afraid to take a shot against him. This isn't a stellar field, so it sort of slim pickings on who you're going to go with. There's several that I landed on. I'll just talk about one to begin with, and that's sort of kind of the standard horse I look for in these turf marathons are the four-year-olds that are bred to get better with age and better with the longer distances. There's a couple of those in here. The one I like the best is the four-horse Eons. He is sitting on a good race, I think, third off the layoff. He's bred to like the longer distances. He's an improving four-year-old. Good connections, really good rider switch to Flavian Pratt, who's very good turf rider and kind of underrated outside of California. He's 20-1 on the morning line. I think he's capable of running a big race in here. Definitely good enough to beat everybody but Zulu Alpha. And if Zulu Alpha doesn't get a good trip or doesn't, you know, fire his A race, then there's no reason why Eons couldn't even win the race. So at 20-1, I think there's a lot of value there on the four-horse Eons. But there's several others in here that I think are usable and possible upsetters. But I'll leave it at that until I get a chance to come back and mention a few more horses if you guys don't already do that before then.
All right, Ellis, what did you come up with here?
Well, this is a great race. This is our Equibase race of the week. It's on ABR, and I also did it for my Kentucky Downs play of the day, because when I do the Equibase race plays, I don't do betting analysis, so my betting recommendations and kind of strategies for betting. I like two horses a lot as win contenders. One is not bettable to win. That's Zulu Alpha. I'll get back to the other in a sec. And then one long shot as keys, and then slots of exactas and different ways to play it, which are in the betting strategy. I don't want to go through a lot of them here. It's a lot of nuance to it. I think it comes obvious. But the horse I really like for the bet is Hierarchy. I liked him a lot in the Tappet Stakes, which he was entered in earlier this week. He scratched a run here, a much tougher race. His last two are career bests, both Byers and Equibases. Equibase figures 110, 110, back-to-back. Great race. The last, which was the Kentucky Preview Turf Cup, 1.25 miles on the soft. He was getting to the winner Factor This. Now, Factor This came back to run second in the Turf Classic. He was second. The third horse hasn't run. The fourth horse won a marathon at Churchill. I think it was a classified. And the eighth and 11th both won. Everybody coming back from that race is running nice. He's 8 for 18, first or second. He's a five-year-old, but he's lightly raced. But those last two races, particularly with Lannery seeming to get along with him riding back, are the keys here. And again, and those last two were really good, particularly the 1.25 miles Kentucky Downs Preview, which has turned out to be a key race because the winner Factor This came back to run second in the Turf Classic. The Hierarchy was second. The third horse hasn't run back. The fourth horse won a marathon at Churchill. I think it was a classified allowance. And the eighth and 11th won. And I'm really intrigued because he scratched out of the Tappet earlier this week to run here. Joe Sharp scratching out of a $300,000 race to $1 million race. So I like him. There's lots of ways to go in the race in terms of exotics. I think one of the ways I like to play a race like this is to key two horses in first and second, maybe in all three positions in trifecta. So for example, 10-12, 10-12, all 10-12, and maybe all 10-12, 10-12. I maybe get a nice price in there as well. There's lots of horses here. And then there's a long shot because Maker always does this when he has multiple horses in a race. I always look at his other horses. And he's got Dual Alpha. He's also got Grand Journey. And this is an intriguing horse at 15-1, guys. He won three of his first six or seven. Mile on the grass, mile on the grass. They dumped him in for a 62,000 tag at Churchill, at Gulfstream, I mean, in June. And Maker took him out of a two-length win. And then he ran fourth in the race in Indiana, which is a really highly rated race. He ran fourth, but he's beaten the nose and the head for second with a 107 figure. As everybody, you know, kind of knows, Maker's really good at figuring out what horses can run in marathons. Zulu Alpha, a ton of others I can't name that. Some he had the whole time, some he claimed and did really well. Marzo is an example from Sycamore last fall. So this is a Giant's Causeway, of course. Giant's Causeway is the sire of Bricks and Mortar, United, Fixatious, a lot of 12 furlong horses. And what's really intriguing is I read Ortiz Gaton. You know, I mean, he has his pick now, the North America leading jockey. So I'm going to bet Grand Journey probably win, maybe win place or win in a dollar back wheel, which I do with long shots and exactives, better than the place price. And then Hierarchy is my main win bet here. You can make a case for Postulation. I'll leave that for one of you guys. I think you can make a case for Red Knight, who's a definitely stayer. Arklow, I'm taking a stand against just because I just don't like his last two. And I hate it when trainers try blinkers in the stakes. They're kind of running out of options. They're figuring out what do we got to do to get a horse to run well. He was second last year, but I'm gonna try and keep him out of my tickets. And that's it. Hierarchy is your horse I really like in this race. And again, this is our Equibase race of the week. You can get the detailed analysis or the Kentucky Downs website, Slay, which has the exotic strategies.
Well, speaking of Grand Journey, that is my pick. And there are a variety of reasons. But naturally, we're always worried about, we always give extra consideration to any Maker going a distance. And this is his first time going the distance. It's the first time he's ever done a marathon. But he has run fast enough twice. At least he did last year twice. He ran fast enough to win, assuming Zulu Alpha doesn't run his race. And in his last, he stumbled pretty badly at the start. He got really kind of just stumbled and fell to his right, and I think he finished fourth. It doesn't really matter where he finished, because that stumble like ruined his chances. He's working out as good as I can see on the page, and I think the one key with this race is there's hardly any pace. So I think that horses that can attend the pace or, you know, be close to the front. I don't know if I found any that had actually won on the front, but horses that can be up close in a very slow pace race, especially with a big field like this, they have an advantage. So I like Grand Journey. Irad is a great rider, and the inside post helps his tracking tactics. He's my pick. I also like Chris's pick, Eons. He was bumped after the start in his last. I haven't watched the race, but any improvement from his last two make him competitive, and the trainer does well at this track. And I think I know the other horse that Chris is going to mention, so I'm going to let him mention it before I go on about them all.
Oh, well, I'll echo what you both have said about Grand Journey. That definitely is one of the other horses that I think you want to include at a price for all the reasons you said. And the horse I'm sure Scott knew I was going to like is the other horse that's pretty close to being the same horse as Eons, and that's He's No Lemon, the 7 horse, very similar, bred to get better with age and distance, make him 4-star off a layoff. Has had some excuses for his last few. The reason I kind of give the edge to Eons over He's No Lemon is I think Eons just looks like a little bit better, but also Eons should be, like Scott said, up closer, has more tactical speed, more likely to get a good trip, where He's No Lemon tends to come from pretty far out of it, which, you know, doesn't mean he can't win, but it makes it a little tougher to work a trip. So those are the three long shots. I like Eons the best, and then probably Grand Journey and He's No Lemon. But you definitely can't leave Zulu Alpha out. And there's some others that you guys have mentioned that are contenders. But for me, my pod pick will be Four Eons, and I'll be watching the odds board on Grand Journey and He's No Lemon. If they're big prices, I might be interested in those as well in terms of a win bet.
Well, the reason why Zulu Alpha can lose this race, and he's going to be a heavy favorite, so that all the price is going to be inflated on every other horse, is he ran really a monster race in Florida on February 29th when he won at even money. And that race, he ran a gigantic fig for a turf horse. At least on the sheets, it was the kind of number you don't see that kind of number twice with turf horses. I mean, even Flincher, like, I don't think he ran that fast. It was like a -1.5. So I can't even see a scenario where there's any value using Zulu Alpha. So I'm not saying I'm definitely playing the pick five, but if I do play the pick five, I'm not using Zulu Alpha just because it'll be like a reverse value bet. There'll be so much money on him that it's going to hurt. So, I mean, I suppose if you really are zeroing in on a horse somewhere else in another leg that is a value and you can sort of bump up your value that way, that is you could use Zulu Alpha, but I mean, he could easily be 4 to 5 in this field.
Yeah, well, I think you have to be careful. You don't want to use him with the Ward horses and God Stormy, you know, and Regal Glory. You know, that won't pay anything. So, like you said, it kind of depends on what you do in the other legs, but you can't be playing chalk with Zulu Alpha, and you can end up cashing and losing money. So I think that's a really good point.
Any other thoughts, Ellis?
Yeah, well, let me go back to a couple more horses for exotics. The two Red Knight, as I said, he's a stayer. And it's interesting, Saez gets back on. Saez hasn't ridden him since last April when he was second in the Elkhorn behind another Maker horse, Bigger Picture. And then he won the 2 Mile Island Jerkins. So, and that was back in December of 18. So him back on the horse could move him up. He was second to the Red Smith. He won the point of entry. Didn't run well in the McKnight, but he's been awesome. The layoff doesn't bother me. And then you mentioned Delacour, Chris, with Eons. If the 16 draws in, surprise twist, I think people look at him. He's 30-1. He gets Rosario. He ran second in a couple good races at 12 furlongs, the Cape Penelope and the other one, I can't remember the name, but Monmouth. And then he had a layoff, and he's run eighth and fourth. So he's on an up pattern right now. And he could sneak in for a piece at a big price for the exotic. So I'll throw out those two.
Yeah, if he draws in.
He'll have to sneak in, and there'll have to be 4 scratches for him to get in. So
Yeah, if he could draw in, I definitely would use him. But, yeah, he'll need a lot of scratches to get in to a $1 million race, where I would think people will be reluctant to scratch out of, you know, given the purse.
Now, I have a couple of others. Unfortunately, I would, I do like Grand Journey, and I like Eons, and I like He's No Lemon, but I also like, I forgot about Red Knight. I was trying to look up some stats on Red Knight, and maybe I'll have a chance to look them up. I think Boondabon is a little bit of a use if you can, if you can get him on your ticket. He ran a number that is pretty darn good at Churchill, going 1 1/8 on June 19th. And then he was bumped, and I haven't seen the replays, but he was bumped, and they have it as a taken up in his last race. So, you know, he's by Ghost Zapper out of a Yagley mare who was very good on turf. So, you know, the trainer, Ignacio Carias, he's 0-19. At Kentucky Downs, but he's 26% in the money. So, you know, 5 of those horses have actually been in the money. And yeah, this could be, it could be a kind of a shocker race. And then the other horse, I would agree. I'll try to use Hierarchy. You know, I definitely recognize him as a horse that's on the upswing. So it's a really tough race. That's why I think, you know, it's the kind of race where you either single Zulu Alpha or don't use him.
Or you can use him in the pick fives, but try to beat him in the verticals. So, you know, just toss him from the verticals and try to, you know, score a big win exact a try kind of thing. And then if he does win, you still have used him in the pick five. But if you can beat him there, you can crush this race.
All right. Well, we'll move to the 11th race. It's the Run Happy. There's a Run Happy Turf Sprint. Grade three. 6 furlongs on the turf. 700,000 is the purse for 3-year-olds and up. Ellis, what did you think here?
Well, my top pick is going to be Totally Boss. His race last year when he won this race was great, off the pace with Giroux at 4-1 with one of his best Ecobase figures ever. Then he ran bad in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, took 6 months off, came back and ran eighth, and woke up in the Shakertown second off the layoff, just flying at the end from 8-6-2, beaten ahead, missing at 7-1. I like the change back to Giroux because he won with them last year, and I like the pattern. 92 is going to be kind of square. I think I'll take probably 3-1 on him. I'm using the 9 in for me in all the pick ends off the Troy. It was a nice win. He won back-to-back twice in his career. So once he gets a win, he can win two. And Irad was up for a win back in 2018 at Gulfstream and then in the Turf Sprint on Preakness weekend. And Irad hadn't ridden him. He rode him at the Wolf Hill in July of 18, hadn't ridden him since then. Of course, the course went to Ascot last year. And now he's got back. He was DQ'd out of the Troy, but he still won the race. Irad's going to stick with him. Irad's going back to him. Jose's going to shift, who rode him last time, over to Kentaka, who's also a contender in the race. And then Bound for Nowhere, the 12, who almost always shows up. So I'm making it 4-9-12-6, but my, if you call it the pod pick, is going to be Totally Boss here.
All right. Totally Boss, who won this race last year. Chris, what did you think?
Well, this is... Well, just one note. Has Run Happy had any winners? Has he had any sired a winner yet? I'm just curious. I haven't seen a Run Happy win a race yet. It'd be interesting. That all this advertising, it'd be kind of sad if the horse doesn't throw any good horses.
I think they should call our contest the Run Happy Sport of Kings Challenge.
Hey, maybe Mattress Mac will sponsor it. Yeah, I like that. This is a great race. I mean, just about every top turf sprinter in the country is in here. There's probably a few missing, but a really great race. But there's a horse in here I just absolutely love. Actually, there's two I like quite a bit, but one I just love. So I got to tell the story of this horse. I'm going to start back when it was bred. It was actually bred by the famous stable Calumet Farm. And by a sire who's really more of a turf sire, and out of a mare who had thrown 3 stakes winners on turf, all kind of sprinter milers. And he started his career going 5 furlongs on the turf, but he was in the Todd Pletcher barn, so they had to try him on dirt and try him routing because they wanted to get him on the Triple Crown trail, and he just never really panned out. So then they put him back on turf routing, and again he didn't run that well, and finally they just dropped him into a cheap claimer at Saratoga a couple years ago when Pletcher was in a battle with Chad Brown for the trainer title, and the horse won for fun. He got claimed away from him, and then right away that new barn started sprinting him on dirt because he's really a sprinter, and he just kept pounding out really good races, and he changed barns a couple times. But this horse, and I'll give you the name now, it's the 8-horse Bon Raison, just would run every 2 weeks and just always ran well. I mean, it was just incredible how this horse pounded out good race after good race, despite just being run off his, you know, feet every week. And a couple really monster races. One big stakes win at Saratoga. And then again, they were all sprints. And then they tried a few more routes, and he didn't run well. And he changed barns again. And the new barn gave him some time off, which he hadn't had in a long time. And they started him in the grade one Carter earlier this year. And the track came up sloppy, and the horse didn't like it at all. Didn't run a jump. So they ran him back at Saratoga in an allowance optional claimer. But to run in that race, they had to put him in for a tag. And somebody jumped in and claimed this horse for $80,000 in its last start, which is pretty unusual. You don't see too many claims for that price. But the interesting thing was the party that claimed him was his breeder, Calumet Farm, who knows all about this horse and how he's bred to be a sprinter miler on turf. And they put in Jack Sisterson as a trainer who has been absolutely red hot. And he's been working out up a storm, fastest workouts of his life since joining the new barn. And the connections who know about his breeding are putting him in where he's belonged all his life, which is sprinting on turf, which he's never had a chance to do since his first start. And now he's sitting third off the layoff with the positive barn change, monster workouts, finally sprinting on turf. And he could run a giant race, and he could be 100-1 in this field. And he has a legitimate chance to win. Now, this is such a tough field that he might run a big race and not win, or maybe not even hit the board. But you're going to get tremendous value on the 8-horse Bon Raison. And I'm going to be all over this horse. This is my, pod pick of the week. There's a couple other long shots I think are value in here. But for me, Bon Raison, there's lots of good reasons. There's a little pun in there to play this horse. So I know I rambled, but I really like this baby.
A lot of good raisons.
Yes. Bon raison.
All right. Let me see. I was against the horse just because he's 0-5 on the turf. But you did bring up a very important point that all those races were 7.5 furlongs or more. So really, the 7.5 furlong race where he was third at 18-1. That was his best race, and that was the shortest race. Okay. Well, the first race, I never count the first race because, especially as a 2-year-old, like you can just, it's the first race, right? I mean, it was in June of his 2-year-old year, July 1st, actually. So you've convinced me because I like the pattern. I like the, he's kind of circling back to one of his better races. And if he can take to the turf, he can win. And French Deputy, I haven't looked at the exact breeding, but I like him now. Let me see if I remember who I picked. So I have a few horses here. My top pick, I agree with Ellis. I think Totally Boss at 9-2 would be great. I don't know if he'll be 9-2, but he won this race last year. There's nothing wrong with his form. He's third off a layoff. His closing style is going to help because it should be an honest pace. So he'll be my top pick. Imprimis, I think, he's a pretty great horse, and he proved that he's back in his last race. And when he's back, I mean, when this horse runs fast, when he's on, he does great. The only issue is that twice he's come back second off a layoff and he hasn't improved the number. And I think he might have to improve the number. So I'm still a little bit on the fence with him, but I'm going to call him my second pick. And the other horse that I'm going to use is Richie's in the House, who ran his best race ever last race. And it was on synthetic, but he's run well on the turf. And he's working out great. I think that Bound for Nowhere, who like set a sizzling pressured pace and then faded in his last race, is going to lay off him. They're just not going to like make Richie run that crazy. And Richie's always been fast. I mean, he's always been a good horse. And I'm not sure if he's won on the turf, but I'm just looking that up right now to see if he's actually won. Yeah, he's 2-4 on the turf. He won his first two races on turf. And Larry Rivelli hits at like an extraordinary number. He's hitting at 31% at Kentucky Downs with a 4.18 ROI. Now that's only 13 races, but yeah, that's four or five winners out of 13 horses. I like him. I would use at 15-1. So those three, but I'll also add Bon Raison on Chris's recommendation, because I do think kind of anything can happen in this race.
Well, I one note on Infamous. I think he's one of these horses that you can toss. And the reason I say that, I agree, he's a really good horse. And if this was a 5.5 furlong race, he would be the one to beat. But I think he is a genuine 5 to 5.5 furlong turf sprinter. I don't think this distance going that extra 6 furlongs, especially at Kentucky Downs, could be his undoing. So I'm willing to kind of take a shot against him. He's 8-1 in the morning line, but I think he's actually going to go off favored. I'd expect him to be the favorite. So I'm a little negative on him, not because I don't think he's a good horse, just because of the distance.
Never in the money at 6 furlongs.
Yeah, I just think he's one of these, you know, horses that has a really nice stock and pounce kind of style at 5 to 5.5. But I think this is one that could really get exposed, especially coming off that big race off the bench. This is kind of an ouchy horse to begin with, and he's a 6-year-old sprinter coming off a big effort, now stretching out to a distance that's probably outside his best range. You know, it's the kind of horse you really should try to beat in a race like this. Now, if he's 8-1, I wouldn't be excited about trying to beat him, but I think I was shocked when he wasn't the morning line favorite. And I think he will be. You know, he gets IRAD. And so anyway, that's all I'll say about that one. There is another horse I like quite a bit in here. If Bon Raison wasn't in, he would be my play. And that's the 7-horse American Anthem. We've already talked about how Mike Maker is so good off the claim with turf horses. He's not known for doing it with sprinters, but his statistics, although he does do it very often, you know, first off a trainer change. He didn't claim this horse, but it changed barns. You know, first off the change, sprinting on the turf, he actually does pretty well. He doesn't have a very big sample size, but the numbers are good. This horse has had a lot of talent, was in the Baffert barn. It's the thing that's interesting about it. It's never been on turf, but Bodemeisters are plus turf. The mare is plus turf. Maker takes over and puts her on the turf right away with some really good recent workouts since he got the horse. And this horse has tactical speed, and to me, just as it's an obvious play. There's no reason why it couldn't win this race any reason why it shouldn't be able to run well on the turf. I mean, in the Baffert barn, you're not going to run on the turf if you can run on the dirt. And he was winning big races on the dirt. You know, he has some really fast figures sprinting on the dirt. So to me, American Anthem and Bon Raison, they could just blow this race completely apart and just ring up some monster payoffs in the exotics. You guys didn't mention a few others that are contenders. Kenthaka, who I liked in his last start, I think is definitely a contender. Front Run the Fed, I think, is a contender. But the value plays to me are definitely Bon Raison, awesome value. American Anthem, really good value in here. And Infamous to me is the chalk, not in the morning line, but I think in actual off odds, he'll be the favorite that you want to take a shot against.
He was favored when he ran second in this race. He ran fourth in this race last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, 8-1 you're not going to get 8-1. And this is a competitive field, but he's going to be the favorite, or at least co-favorite or second choice in the wagering.
Any other thoughts on this one, Ellis?
Yeah, real quick. So you didn't mention Stubbins. I want to throw him in for at least unders. Rosario rode him really well last fall. He was second to Franklin Simpson at 6.5 at Kentucky Downs. And then he won the Woodford. He ran good in his comeback this year in the Daytona, beating a half a length, and then didn't fire in the Jaipur. But Rosario getting back on is good. I had mentioned Kentucky, Chris. You said Doan had. I just wanted to mention I had, because that was a big race off a 13-month layoff in the Jaipur. So I'm using him. And then I want to just double back on Imprimis, and I respect you taking a stand against this horse, but as one of you just mentioned, he was the 2-to-1 favorite in this race last year. And I wouldn't use that as proof of his two races that he can't run six, because I just watched the video while you guys were talking to refresh my mind. And Paco Lopez, first of all, he had the 3-post last year, and Lopez had him inside, and he was hemmed in. He had a seam to run, really, but not. It was late, and he stopped riding him. I think the 9-post is really going to be beneficial to him, not getting in trouble he got in last year. If you're right, and he is over bet 8-to-1, like at 4-to-1, I probably wouldn't play him, but he's still my second in terms of win probability. Totally Boss still my pick, and then Imprimis, then Bound for Noah and Kanthaka. Those are the four I consider for any kind of win bets, with Totally Boss my top pick. But I think Imprimis is, that last race isn't indicative of what he can do because he had trouble.
Okay, well, I think we've covered just about every horse in that race. Well, let me see if there's any that I didn't cover that I want to talk about. I'm kidding. Yeah. I Bound for Nowhere, he always gets bet. He's always capable of a big number. I'm going to probably try to not use him in this race, but I might have to if I come up with a bet and it's bugging me not using him, I might have to use him at 9-to-2. There's a lot of horses in this race, so maybe Imprimis won't be the favorite. Totally Boss could be the favorite. I mean, he won last year, and he ran well in his last race. But that's enough for Kentucky Downs, because we've got one other race. It's the big one at Woodbine. It's the Queen's Plate, Grade 1, 1.25 on synthetic, purse of $1 million for 3-year-olds. Chris, where did you land?
Well, the horse, I think, is the obvious win play. I'm going to wait and let you pick it, because I'm sure you like the same horse because you liked it last time. So I won't pick that horse yet. But that will be my pod pick. I'll let you.
That's kind of you.
Talk about that one. But I'm going to be on the same horse. But I'm going to turn that one over to you, because I know you liked it last time. So I'll pick out a long shot I like. In addition to that horse, I think it's kind of interesting and obvious as well. And that's the 13 horse Mighty Heart. I don't like the post, but the horse has run really well since it got to Woodbine and ran on the synthetic. And this is its third start off the layoff. It's not that much slower than the other horses. It's had some excuses in past races, and if it could somehow get a trip from that outside post, I think it could run well, and it's a big price, 20-to-1 on the morning line. So my long shot is number 13, Mighty Heart, but my pod pick is another horse that I think Scott is on, so I'll wait and let him talk about that one. And if for some reason I'm wrong about who he likes, then I'll
No, you're not.
All right. So I'll leave it at that and turn it over to you guys.
All right, Ellis, what did you think of this race?
Well, I don't want to steal the horse. I might give out the same horse. This is a great race. And just a little quick plug, doing a ABR Live with Dan Trudman and Emily Gullickson from 4 to 6 on Facebook and YouTube, covering the 3 stakes, the Bison City, the Canadian, and the Queen's Plate. And it's also the race I did for the Woodbine website. And I usually kind of shy away from this race, to be honest, because it is restricted. But it's interesting. And this goes back to, I'm sure you're familiar, and many listeners familiar with, the tandem race theory, which is two horses coming out of a race, ran okay, trying to make the case for reversing and looking at the odds disparity, which is very big here. Because Curlin's Voyage won the Woodbine Oaks, and I'm going to try and say it right, like Geller does, Mervy Yu, ran third in that race. And she put blinkers on for that race. She's come back and put in two fantastic works, 58-2, second of 79, 47 flat, best of 77. She's drawn better. I don't mind the jockey change to Kimura. She had to wait a little bit. She wasn't going to be Curlin's Voyage. You had a rail run, and Mervy Yu was a little wide. I think she gets the number here at 10-to-1. She's my top pick. Can't knock Curlin's Voyage. Phillies have won both these fillies, by the way. Phillies have won 37 editions of this race in two of the last three. So it's incredible. You know, Wonder Godot is one that comes to mind, and Holy Helena. Going to use Curlin's Voyage in all the pick-ins, Exactus, Trifectus. And then the other race, the Plate Trial, Clayton was first, and Halo again was second. 5-1, 2-1, as again, pointing out, Merveilleux and Curlin's Voyage, 10-1 versus 5-2 is ridiculous, because I think Merveilleux is good. Halo again, 5-1 versus Clayton, 2-1. He ran really well, and he won the Coronation. This is an Asmussen horse. Talk about Asmussen again. Doesn't get a lot of synthetics, but because he's an Ontario bred, last year after breaking his maiden at Churchill in October, he shipped up, won the Coronation Futurity in a nice field. Then they started a three-year-old campaign with Lecomte and Jeff Ruby, took time off, went back to the Poly, or Tapita in this case, and ran first and then second in the Plate Trial. He's on a good up pattern. I like him in Clayton. So I'm using those four, trying to split the favorites. It's probably end up doing it. But for now, in my head, I'm doing a four-horse exact and trifecta box with Merveilleux, Curlin's Voyage, Hailing in, and Clayton, my win bet, and Pod Pick's going to be Merveilleux.
Well, it's going to be a triple-barreled Pod Pick again. That's never happened where we've had two triple-barreled Pod Picks. Chris is correct.
Sorry, I stole your thunder.
That's all right. That's all right. I mean, you know, we've actually hit a 14-1 triple-barreled Pod Pick in the past, so it's good. And different handicapping angles coming up with the same horse, I think, is it's good. So Merveilleux has a good post, gets 3 pounds as a filly. I know that Curlin's Voyage also does, but like you said, Ellis, she's going to be one of the lower prices. She's just as fast as the favorites. Interesting, in her last race, she got pinballed in the stretch, and it didn't look like the jockey didn't get up or anything, but like looking at the head on, first of all, like in the pan view, something happened, right? So we knew something happened. So then I watched the pan view, and it really looked like she got pinballed. Now, it wasn't like a horrible pinball, like sometimes when horses get pinballed after the start, but it was enough. And the funny thing is she kept on going. She sort of shook that off and kept on going and was closing, finished well, and then just went right on by Curlin's Voyage on the gallop out, just like flew by on the inside. So I'd be surprised if she's as high as 10-1, just because I think a lot of people will have seen that race. But that's definitely my pick. And the other horses are obvious, Clayton and Curlin's Voyage. I think the only way to really make money on this race is somehow to get Merveilleux in the exacta. Chris, do you want to wax more on Merveilleux?
The only other thing I would say is, Alice mentioned her workouts, but her stablemate, the big favorite Clayton, they've been working same distance, same day since that last race. And her races are her works are much, much faster than Clayton's works at the same distance on the same day. Now, she tends to work faster than Clayton anyway, but I mean, I think the blinkers have made a difference with her. And, you know, if she can be a little more forwardly placed and get a nice ground-saving trip, I think she'll be really tough. I did want to mention one other long shot in here, you know, a real long bomb. That's the 8-horse Ollie, my boy. Horse has just had miserable trips in all its starts. It's slow, but it really has never had a chance to run, a legitimate chance to run its race. And kind of is bred to go long, Thunder Gulch, you know, distance breeding, Union Rags. I mean, those are Belmont winners, I think, both of them. So going 1.25 miles, if he finally gets a trip, could be the kind that could clunk up and get a piece at, you know, 50-1 or something in here. So that's the 8, Ollie, my boy.
Yeah, I should also mention a horse that Ellis mentioned. The 6, I think, also is right there. He's 5-1 morning line. Not sure what price he'll be, but that sounds about right. He was only a half length off Clayton. I haven't watched that race, but he was bumped in the start, and he's about as fast as that horse. And has really good breeding, and there's just no reason why that horse can't be in the money. So that's why it's a tough race, because the I think the most logicals are Clayton, Curlin's Voyage, and Halo Again, with a little bit of Merveilleux sprinkled inside. So I don't know how you make this make money on this race unless you just cold deck a big exacta or trifecta.
Let me add one more if I can, because Chris mentioned Mighty Heart, but coming out of that same race is Tecumseh's Ward. And I think if you like one, you got to like the other. I did watch the race, and Tecumseh's Ward did get a rail run, but he showed a real good burst. He went from fourth length and a half to head back. Then he kind of wavered. But that was his first route off 2 7 furlong races. And he could be stronger here. He's by Summerfront, so I think he can get a mile and a quarter without a problem. So if you like Mighty Heart for the others, you got to like Tecumseh's War for the exotics.
Yeah, another contender could easily get into the super. So it's definitely a horse that I considered, and really it's a tough race. I mean, it's a great race if you're playing it and you like something. I think there's a lot of opportunity, you know, unless you. If Tommy Masses, I'm going to actually have to ask him on Twitter, because he basically just he concedes every race to Clayton. It'll be interesting to see if he concedes this race as well. Well, any other plays that just spot plays, and you know, we'll limit it to one or two. I know, Ellis, you've been handicapping like a maniac, all different cards. So if you have any like horses that are priced that you think are really good plays, do you have any for us?
Well, the only thing else I did was I looked at the 8th and 9th at Woodbine, which we're going to cover on that ABR Live. And I can just real quick say I like a horse in Gun Society in the Bison City for Roger Atfield. It's interesting. Sir Roger Atfield, bred this horse, owns it, and trains it. He made the lead too early in the stakes, the Eternal Search. Last month came up second. It was his first in blinkers. Comes back with a bullet work. He's bred really well. Society's Chairman is one of those horses that produces a lot of these restricted stakes and restricted winners. It's one thing that Stats Race Funds does. It lets me click a button that says state bred and restricted. Because some sires, you know, like the, what's his name in California? I can't remember the one that bred him. Breeds so many too. Thank you, Square Eddie. Yeah. That you would see is okay otherwise, but in those races, you know, the matter of fact, the stat is in all weather state routes that are restricted the last 5 years is 6 for 11, Society's Chairman, on 4 or 5 different horses. So it's really interesting, including, I think, a horse that ran well in this race, Karen, who won the 2016 Bison and earned $800,000. So the Gun Society is interesting in the 8th. And the 9th, you got Cambier Park, the 6-5 for Chad Brown, coming off a layoff since last October. She's definitely the class of the field. You know, she's that daughter of Celie Hill, who won the Del Mar Oaks last year and the Wonder again, and the home of Here Comes the Bride. But the one, Theodora B, won the Dance Smartly at 1.25 on the grass, and she can win on the lead or off the pace. So I'm going to take a look at her along with the favorite. And those are the two that I'm looking at. And for more, you can always join us on our live stream tomorrow.
All right, Chris, any spot play goodies for us?
Yeah, I like, I've been doing pretty good on these spot plays, so I look for one, especially in these maiden races. And the second race at Kentucky Downs is a maiden special weight going 1 mile on the turf. And there's a horse, the 8 horse Casanova Kitten, who is one of these trip horses where she's had 3 starts. Her first start was a really nice second at Woodbine last year as a 2-year-old. Finished second to a horse named Glorious Tribute, I think went on to win some stakes races there. So that was a very good effort. And then she was laid up and ran a race where just had an absolute miserable trip from start to finish. The jockey just didn't look like he had a clue. It just was a really terrible ride. I mean, he got in trouble 4 or 5 times, complete toss. Now it's second off a layoff, and that was a sprint. And it debuted routing, and now it stretches back out, and it's Wesley Ward, and he goes to Corrales, a jockey that he and that jock click at almost 40% winners. And second off a layoff, stretching out with that miserable trip, just looks like a great play in that second race. That's the 8-horse Casanova Kitten. It's 10-1 on the morning line. Probably won't get that, but hopefully get some value there. I think that horse really could just blow this field away. There's not much to beat. The only other horse I'm concerned about at all is the 3-horse Glenn County, who's a maker horse, second off the claim. But Casanova Kitten, the 8-horse in the second race, looks like a good value play at Kentucky Downs.
Okay, well, great pod. I'd like to thank our guest, Ellis Starr. Thanks for handicapping with us, Ellis.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. I just want you guys to give me a break in the Premier Turf Club contest, though, okay? Just had to throw that in, sorry.
Oh, that's the one. Is that the contest on Sunday?
No, this Premier Turf,
the Premier Turf, the cash is king, which you guys are always on the leaderboard. I've stuck for weeks, so give me a break tomorrow.
Well, I haven't been playing it because I'm already qualified for the finals. So I just haven't been thinking about it, but if I do, if I do think of it, I'll try to remember to hit contest bet $150.
That's hard to remember to push the button sometimes. Thanks for having me on, though. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed going to these races. You guys have given me a lot to think about.
All right. Well, great. It was great to have you. That will conclude show number 82 of the Sport of Kings pod. May you cash well and often at Kentucky Downs. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.